Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for grace. God promised that His people would be filled with His Spirit. God promises that. He promises it to all of His people, not just some. He doesn't say, okay, well, this group gets the Spirit and this group doesn't. He says all of His people will be filled with the Spirit. He says that throughout His Word. And when we look at this, we see that God desires to enliven His people, to revive us even again. And today we're going to begin with something that's written by the prophet Joel. And then we're going to review the three previous messages on revival. I'm just going to do a quick review of each one. As we draw near to that great day of the return, the coming of the Lord, the great day of the coming of the Lord, we must prepare our hearts. I believe it's important that each of us recognize that God's Spirit is one that leads us, that guides us, and we can follow. We can follow where He leads. The Word is clear. Jesus is coming for His bride, and she will be awake. She'll be alive. She's going to be awake and alive. She's going to be ready. She's going to be prepared. She's going to meet the bridegroom. And this is the true body of Christ, the true bride of Christ. And according to Jesus, He said that she'll be awake, she'll be prepared. And therefore, as it's written, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Awake. So let's prepare today to receive Him by bowing our heads and our hearts in prayer to receive God's message to His people. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We know that when Jesus cleansed the temple, He said that God's temple, His Father's temple, would be a house of prayer. And so, Lord God, hear our prayers today as we lift them up from our hearts, as we've bowed our heads and our hearts to You. We ask, Lord God, that You would speak to us from Your Word. Speak to us, Lord God. Let us hear from You. Let Your Spirit enliven us. Revive us, Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you will, open your Bible to the second chapter of Joel. Joel chapter 2. And we're going to begin at verse 28. Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 28. And we're going to read to the end of the chapter there. And this is where it's written. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour My Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out My Spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. I trust that God will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word today. God says He will pour out His Spirit. He will do it. It's not something that we can do. We can't manufacture the Holy Spirit, and though there are some brothers and sisters who attempt to because they feel the need, if they don't have some sort of gift of the Spirit operating, they feel like they're somehow not a part of the body of Christ, perhaps. But God says He will pour out His Spirit. He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. They'll speak the oracles of God. They'll speak the Word of God. God will give the testimony to the people, the words to say. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. These are things that God promises will happen. We know that this outpouring of the Spirit began at this time when the church began, early in the church's history. Also upon the servants and the handmaids in those days will I pour out My Spirit. The servants and the handmaids, not just on some special group of people. He's not saying it's just going to be for one level of the society. He says all. It doesn't matter what your station is in life, God is going to pour out His Spirit. This is what He says. I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. That doesn't sound real bright, does it? God says that's what's going to happen. And I suspect that that is going to happen. We see when Christ was crucified, we see that this darkness came over, the earth changed, everything was different. Saw the temple, the curtain in the temple torn in two. The Holy of Holies open. Now God is accessible by all of His people, and that's by His Spirit. It's not by our own flesh. It's not by our own ability. God allows for His people to access Him directly now because of the work of Christ. It'll come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Whosoever. That means you. That means me. That means everybody and anybody, whomever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is something that we use whenever we share with people, because they might think, I'm unworthy. And there are lots of people who think that they're unworthy. They don't believe that they have anything to offer God. And God says, no, you do, because I want you. God wants each and every one of us to be filled with His Spirit. He wants each and every one of us to be used of Him. He wants each and every one of us to be His child. We looked at this in our Sunday school lesson today. And what does all that have to do with revival? Well, we're going to be revived from death to new life. We're revived by the Spirit of God. We are brought into new life by God's power, not our own. It's His Spirit that does the work. In the first message of this series, we were reminded that God Almighty spoke to His people from the beginning. Adam and Eve enjoyed intimate fellowship with God, communicated directly with God. Even their children, after sin entered the world, they still maintained communication. We hear God speaking to the one who slew His brother. God did that. We also learned that God brought people to be the mouthpiece for Him, the prophets. They were the prophets. They were the ones who professed the Word of God. And we heard from the prophet Ezekiel in that first message. He foretold of revival to life of this valley of dry, dead bones. And there's a metaphorical picture there. The whole earth is full of dead, dry bones. And God says He's going to revive the life of humanity in His Spirit. We're brought into that. We're given that by God. It's not ours. The breath of God will revive us individually. The breath of God will revive us collectively. We just need to yield to the Holy Spirit to do the bidding of God. Allow the breath of God to come over us. Allow the breath of God to move over us, to move us. Don't resist. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be revived as a church, it's the breath of God that will assemble us and reanimate us. It's not our own work. There's nothing we can do of our own. We participate as the Spirit leads. We are a part of the action. We're a part of what's going on, but we don't do it. We can't make it happen. God does it by His Spirit. We can't just simply confess revival into existence. We can't revive this church by saying it's revived. We can't bring new life into this building by saying it's going to be here. We don't have that power. We can't just choose for revival to happen. Revival is not possible without true, broken-hearted repentance. This is what we see in God's Word and what we see historically as we look at the picture of revivals that have taken place in the past. We see that because there are people that broke down and said, God, we're not worthy. And they cried out to God and God answered their prayer. Revival is not a passing fad that we can claim. It happens with the true move of God on our hearts, on our minds, on our souls. It's God's move. We need to just say, God, we're here for You. We're Yours. Use us. Revival is not possible while ignoring God's prophet. Ezekiel shows us that. And so do the other prophets. Those that God said, if these people do not repent, I'm going to destroy them. And they don't repent, and God destroys them. This is what happens. And we see it's not possible without heeding the message. Because God says, this is the one that I'm giving you the message through. You can't just silence the messenger and have revival. We have to hear that sweet word of God's Word. We need to listen for what God says. We need to receive God's message. To hear what God has to say, and we can turn to God and be revived to new life. God's Word shows us again and again what becomes of those who hear and respond positively to His Word. We're revived. We're renewed. We're refreshed. We're revisited. He brings revival to His people. It's not our work. He does it. In the second message, we asked and answered the question, what shall we do? We saw that this was something that the apostles had, when Peter preached, the apostles were asked, what shall we do? The people were pricked in the heart. They were convicted by the Word. They knew this one was the Christ, the Messiah, and they had killed Him. And they wanted to know, what could they do? And did Peter give them some little prayer to pray? Did he give them some teary, weepy-eyed song to listen to for 20 verses or whatever? No. You know what he did? He said, repent, and all of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. He instructed them to turn away from sin and live with God. People were overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, and the church grew exponentially. Thousands came in one day. And I asked in that message, can you imagine this place being filled in one day? Can you imagine that? God can do that. He asks us to turn to Him. He asks us to turn to Him and turn away from all those things that displease Him. And we saw that in the third message. We see new life. We need the same thing that they needed. What shall we do? We shall do what they did. Repent. Turn to God. Allow Him to use us. Let the sweet Holy Spirit overwhelm you in His presence. Let Him burn within your very soul to kindle a fire within you that then ignites others. Let Him cover you with the mantle of Christ that overpowers all of your weaknesses and replaces them with strength. Use the strength of God's Holy Spirit to serve Him every day. Sell out completely to Christ. Sell out completely to Christ. Allow Him to use you. Give Him control of your entire life and every little part of it. Every part. Don't hold back those parts that you are pleased by that don't please God. Let go of those things. Allow that irresistible love of God to overwhelm you. And love others. Love God completely and love others as yourself. Watch revival break out in your life and the lives of those around you. This was the core of the message in that second message. Hear and respond to God's Word and let Him revive us again. In the third message, hi Aiden, he's real awake today. In the third message of this series, we learned that our Heavenly Father can fix what's broken in us and in the church. Not just this church, the whole body of Christ. We serve the same holy God now, and we're influenced by the same Holy Ghost now, and we read the same holy Bible now, and therefore we are to be the same holy people. We're called by God to forsake our sins, to turn away from our sins, not to live in them. God's our Father, and He created us, and He wants us to live. He rules as the head of the household. He's the one to whom we owe most respect. He's the one that also takes care of us. He has that responsibility. And we can know that He takes care of us because He is our Father. We're living in perilous times. There's no doubt about that. The world's broken and that mighty giant of the church is slumbering. The church is asleep. The whole church is asleep. The body of Christ is sleeping. We need to be woken up. We need to be brought back to life. We need to be revived. If the world is going to change, even our little corner of it, we need to be brought back to new life. We need to allow God to use us, that this world can be changed, even our little corner of it. We get a fire of revival burning here, that fire can burn throughout the county. I really believe that. I don't doubt it for a moment. In the seventh chapter of 2 Chronicles, we find our Heavenly Father's revival strategy. We looked at that in the third message. He offers four conditions to receiving four promises. Three promises are stated and one's implied. He says, if you want to live spiritually, He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways, then He will hear from heaven. He'll respond. He'll heal our land. And that implies revival. We'll see new life. requires us to humble ourselves. It requires us to pray and seek face time with Him and turn from anything that displeases Him. And He'll revive us. He can fix our problems with pride by humbling us. He can fix our broken prayer life by giving us reasons to pray. Now, that's not something we want, folks, but He will do that. If we're not busy praying, He'll give us reasons to pray. And I know there's some of us in here that know that firsthand, and I can raise my hand. He can fix our relationship with Him and with others. He can fix our sin problem by Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life. He's our example of total obedience and holiness. We want spiritual revival in our lives? Do we really want spiritual revival in our lives? Do we want to be a live church for Christ? Do we want to be a witness for Jesus Christ on this planet? You know, we need to follow His prescription for healing and for health. That's all we need to do. He lays it all out very plainly. We just need to follow what He says. When God moves upon humanity, everything the world has to offer fades. If it has any glory to us, it fades. It fades to darkness. There was a pastor by the name of Ian Paisley who more than 45 years ago said the Church of Jesus Christ is largely sleeping, like a great bedroom. We're all asleep. And they're saying, please don't wake me up. I want to sleep on. And of course, when God starts a revival, you cannot sleep in the church. You cannot sleep when God starts a revival. When the Spirit of God blows over the people, they can't sleep because they're enlivened, they're awakened, they're moved by the Spirit. I believe that this, what he said, is truer today than it was then. If the church was asleep more than 45 years, 50 years ago, folks, it's in a deep slumber right now. All we got to do is look at the way the church is going, turning against what God's Word says and doing what it wants, claiming that it has some greater knowledge than what God wants. The church is fascinated by the world, and the world has nothing to offer us, and yet the church somehow has embraced the world. Yes, we accept the message that sin is okay. We can live any way we choose, and yet God's Word says just the opposite of that. The bride of Christ has to be divorced from the world. And that's a loose quote from Leonard Ravenhill. The bride of Christ has to be divorced from the world. We cannot be in bed with the world because that would make us a whore. And that's what Revelation tells us. Much of the world is going to be in bed with the itself. The church is getting in bed with the world. And the Lord says, get out of there. Be separate. You may not be in that situation with the world where you're connected to it. If we don't get divorced from the world, the things of the world tranquilize us spiritually. We're put to sleep. We don't have the life of Christ. God's prophets are called to warn God's people of the danger that their slumber is bringing. I don't know if there's many prophets today, people who are professing the Word of God and saying it's time to wake up. I don't know. I don't listen to everything. Obviously, I don't know everything. But I know it's time, folks. It's time. You look at the threats that are on the world stage. I mean, it's just ripe to happen, folks. And God will only tarry for so long. His long suffering is close to an end, I believe. And we as a nation may experience the wrath of God. He's calling the church to wake up. He's calling for each and every one of us to be a part of that. To be revived, to be enlivened, to be the ones who stand in the gap and say, here is God. Come to Him. He has the answers. And how do we come to Him but through Jesus Christ? That's what He wants. There was a preacher named Duncan Campbell. He was used of God in Scotland. He told when God came down, suddenly men and women all over the parish were gripped by the fear of God. They knew they had to do something. They sought out anybody that they could find that they thought maybe might know what they had to do, that might connect them somehow to God. God did that. The man didn't do it. He was just preaching. And there were people praying for revival. That's what I want each one of you to do. I want you to pray for God to revive this congregation, to revive each one of us. Start with yourself. Pray for God to revive you, to bring you into a new knowledge of where He wants you to be. What He wants you to do. Hear God speaking in Proverbs. In the Proverbs 1:23, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Turn at my rebuke. The Lord is not trying to punish His people. He wants us to hear. He wants us to turn to Him. Turn away from those things that distract us from Him. Turn to God and be refreshed by His sweet Holy Spirit. Oh, we see the Holy Spirit portrayed as oil. We see the Holy Spirit portrayed as fire. We see the Holy Spirit portrayed as breath or wind. We see the Holy Spirit portrayed as water. And there's a sweetness when you get into the presence of God. And I know some of you have been in prayer meetings here with us when we have felt the presence of God. When we've pressed into the presence of God and we haven't wanted to leave. I know that. I know some of you have been here when we've done that. I know. I'm certain because you've commented on it. That sweetness of God. You don't want to leave His presence. And I could see if God were to take us out of here right now, I could see how we would want to stay with Him and not come back. I can see that. You know, that man said that they were gripped with the fear of God. Do any of us really have that awesome reverence of God that we recognize we have something more to do? That we have work to do because Jesus sent us out into the world to be His witnesses? Do we recognize that? The bride of Christ has to be divorced from the world. In Psalm 24, it's written, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Have we sworn to serve Christ? Have we acknowledged Christ as our Lord and Savior? We've made a commitment then. We've sworn. Have we sworn deceitfully? Or are we going to uphold our end? We're going to say, "Yes, I will serve you. Send me. Let me do what you want me to do. Whom shall I send?" And are we saying, "Here am I. Send me. I won't hide my face from them anymore," the Lord says, "for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel." That's in Ezekiel chapter 39. And then in Revelation 22 and verse 17, we read, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Whoever. It means each of us are a part of whoever. Whosoever will. Jesus started a spiritual revolution. He started a spiritual revolution. And I believe that we can continue that work. I believe by the power of God, we can receive that spiritual fire that will ignite us and turn us into the way that God wants us to go. I believe this is our job as the people of God, to call others to stoke up the fire by turning to Him in prayer. And I want each and every one of you to be praying this week. I want you to pray for God's Spirit to be poured out on this congregation. I want you to pray for God's Spirit to be poured upon you. That anything, any bit of darkness would be removed. That you would recognize whatever it is that God doesn't have pleasure in your life, that we would ask Him to remove that. I believe we need to go on a diet that's found in God's Word. Sin diet. We need to follow His sin diet. We need to turn to Him in prayer for power to turn away from sin in thought, word, or deed. I really believe that, folks. And I'm not saying we're some horrible, horrible sinners that all we're doing is sinning, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But any sin is displeasure to God. We need to turn from whatever it is and let Him tell you what it is. Don't tell yourself what it is. Don't try to excuse something because you enjoy it. Just let God tell you. It's written in the second chapter of Joel, "Now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm." Let's spend time prospecting for God's gold in the Bible. Let's dig in. Let's pull some gold, golden nuggets of truth out of there that our souls can be fed and enriched. We need to follow God's sin diet. We need to follow His revival diet to bring new life even to this church. Hear what's written in the fourth chapter of James. "Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. He's not saying not to rejoice. We are to rejoice in our salvation. But he's telling us to turn from our sin. And this is in the New Testament. It's not in the Old Testament. And some would argue that we don't have to listen to that Old Testament stuff. But I will tell you, when it's found in the New Testament, we need to follow it exactly as it's written, because this is God's word to his people, even at this time. Let's call upon that great physician to bring healing to his bride. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. It's written in 1 Thessalonians. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, prune us to bear good fruit for you. Please, God, please help us to unite here to build this house of worship for you. Take us fishing for people. Help us to colonize this area for you, Lord, as we serve you. You, the one true, living, almighty God, guide us to pursue peace and holiness, which your word says no one will see you without. Help us to be people of peace among each other. Help us, Lord, to be peaceful in the community. Help us, Lord, to walk in holiness, your righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, which you have given us. Revive us, Father. Oh God, please revive us. You alone are able to breathe new life into church. You alone are able to breathe new life into the whole church, Lord. Revive us. Let us live for you. Let us be your people, in love with our God, loving our brothers and sisters. Help us, Father God. Help us. We are so weak without you. Strengthen us. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Breathe on us, Lord. Breathe on us, please. Give us what we need to serve you. Give us what we need to turn from anything that displeases you, Lord. Please, Father, help us to be your people. Strengthen us to do your work. Lord God, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.